if you calculate certain numbers, key numbers, what I call the life number, the day number, I can pinpoint how that will be an exact match with somebody else and how you'll be so compatible with that person. And the only way I was able to prove this was when I found my wife.
This is episode number 588 with Desiree Calvin Lawrence. We are going to be talking about the science of finding your soulmate, and we're going to look beyond superficial traits. We're going to talk about numerology and all kinds of really interesting, different ways of looking at matchmaking and love. Hi, everybody. I am Sandy Weiner, and welcome back to Last First Date Radio, where we believe it is never too late to go on your last first date. And as a dating and relationship coach, I have written two books. One is called Becoming a Woman of Value, How to Thrive in Life and Love. And this book was written because I, for one, never really valued myself, and it really affected so much of my life. And once I became a coach and started helping people to value themselves from the inside out, I decided to write a book about all the steps that are important to take so you can show up, stand up, and speak up in your life. And the second book is called Choice Points in Dating. And I wrote this book because so many people feel that they don't have choices. And I know for a fact that we do have so many choices, from the mindset that we have around dating and relationships, to how we choose a partner, to knowing how to have conversations that move the relationship forward, to knowing when to stay, when to go, and how to know it's your last first date. Both books are available on Amazon for Kindle or paperback. And this week's tip from the first book is step 27, be proactive, not reactive. I'm actually reading a book right now called Talking on Eggshells by Sam Horn, and she talks a lot about this. We need to prepare so that we don't react when somebody triggers us. And the more we can prepare by working on ourselves, by realizing that we can sometimes put ourselves into somebody else's shoes and know that it's not just about us, it is such an important thing. And especially in the dating world, where so many of us build a whole story before we know anything about why the person's doing what they're doing. And by the time they reach out to us again, we're so angry at them that they don't even know why. And, you know, it's just, you can sabotage something before it even gets off the ground. So my challenge to you this week is to be proactive, not reactive. Really try to ground yourself and have some conversations with yourself before you have conversations with somebody else. Before I bring Calvin Desiree on, I want to just invite you to join my Facebook group. It's called Your Last First Date. And this is a wonderful, proactive Facebook group for women over 40 who are looking to grow on their journey to lasting love. So whether you are single or in a relationship, this is a fantastic place for you to grow and learn and go on your last first date. My guest today is Desiree Lawrence. He is the author of Power of Paradise and The Wiz Diary. He also offers insights into relationships. He blends metaphysics with practical advice, and his goal is to empower self-discovery and relationship success. He offers a unique method for quickly finding true love. He's also a matchmaker and a guide to meaningful relationships. And he has another book called Unleashing the Power of Deep Connections. Welcome to the podcast, Desiree.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you all the way from Sydney, Australia. It's always fun to have people from the other side of the planet.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your matchmaking services. We spoke a little bit before we started today, but what led you to become a matchmaker?
Well, long story short, I have always felt like a connection to people in general. You know, when I meet people, I automatically connect. And so there was a point in my life where I just couldn't pick the right person to be with, because everyone I was meeting, I somehow connected with them. So I'm a kind of a people person. So I tend to connect with people. So I was always trying to find the right person, so to speak. let me who is the right person for me? Because it seems like I can probably go this way, I can go this way, I can go that way. Who is the right person? And so that question came about over 20 years ago. And I started doing research into those things. And one of that led into a very interesting research that allowed me to understand the dynamics that take place between relationships. That is, I uncovered a very interesting research that made me know how to pinpoint exactly what will be taking place in my relationship with somebody else if I did engage in that relationship. And so it's an old science. I picked it up, I studied it extensively, and then I started using it to understand my relationships with individuals. And what I realized was every last one of my relationships, the ones I've had, the ones I continue to have, every one of them fell under that tenet of description of what was going to take place. So I decided to take it a step further. I was like, what if there is a compatibility? Because sometimes this issues are you're compatible, but how about if there's a different science that can take you a step further? And so what happened was I got into the science of numbers. And I was very familiar with numbers for a long time. So I picked this up, this particular science up, this research, and I was actually learning from doctors in the Eastern world. And what I realized was certain things, tenets in the numbers of individuals, the dates of birth of individuals, make them extremely compatible with somebody else. So it's not just about astrology or any of that, it's just the numbers. So if you calculate certain numbers, key numbers, what I call the life number, the day number, I can pinpoint how that will be an exact match with somebody else and how you'll be so compatible with that person. And the only way I was able to prove this was when I found my wife. And so that was the icing on the cake when it wasn't even that I proved that. I was proving it basically with other people I was dealing with in my life. And then when I found my wife, before I actually went on my first date with her, I did the calculations and I said, all right, I'm going for it. And I went for it, and today we're married, and this is why I'm in Sydney. I would be in the United States right now if I wasn't married to her, because I did the date calculations. I was like, wow, this is perfect. And I actually moved continents for her. That's to show you how much I really did believe in that relationship, believe in this relationship.
People say you'll move mountains for the right people, right? And you moved continents, so that's pretty awesome.
Yes, I
But
did.
let's talk a little bit about numbers, life numbers, day numbers. What does all that mean?
Life number is a life path. What is life number is like a life path. What is the complete direction of your life? The day number is what happens within the context of your immediate environment, your immediate personality. So, when I do the calculations, I tell people to go to a particular site. When they go to the site, I do the calculations of their life number and the day number. And when I do the life number and the day number, I actually try to find out who they are interested in getting to know. And I do the life number and the day number for that person as well. And I find out if it's a compatible match. And then I take it a step further and do more analysis, which I can discuss later, where I give like a breakdown of what would take place in the relationship if it did pan out, what to expect in that relationship. But usually the numbers is the critical aspect because that solidifies the depth of connection that could be taking place between both individuals.
So they go to a site and they take these like assessments and find out what their life and day numbers are.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I know that you've done some work on celebrities with long-lasting marriages, and you have some case studies to share with us that prove that the number science works. Can you share with us some examples?
A key one is Beyoncé and Jay-Z. What makes them a compatible match? There's a Day Number Five series that goes with them. The day number is five. Day number five for both of them. Life number four for both of them. And they are actually perfect matches based on those two number signs and makes them very compatible. As a matter of fact, for the five and the five, there is an irresistible natural attraction that comes within the bond by just getting them together in the same room in the first place. There's this automatic attraction. I looked at somebody like Tom Hanks and his wife been together for so long. Their combination matches are actually the same also for the number pairs.
Well, the question is, how do you know their numbers? They haven't done this test. They haven't gone on the
Oh no, they've
website.
not done it. Oh no. So what we do is they have their birth information is publicly available. So by looking at their birthday number, and just their number pairs, we can tell just by doing the calculation that this person is actually compatible with the mates they're with. So I've done on so many celebrities that have long lasting marriages. I can go with another one, Harrison Ford and Calista Flockhart. Harrison Ford is July 13, 1942. His day numbers are four, his life numbers are nine. Calista is November 11, 1964. Day number two, life number is a six. And I can go on and on. The six and the nine are extreme match, is an extreme match. It's actually one of the matches that is a combination for me and my wife. And so I can tell with beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are with the right person by actually knowing these numbers. They've been together for 21 years, this is Harrison and Callister. Let me go on. I can go ahead and give a few more examples.
No, that's
Lipo
okay.
Jane, yes.
I think we
So
have enough here.
I can give examples for days, and the education, yeah, the education that I give breaks down all this so that you understand how this works and how you can actually apply to your life.
Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Amazon Music Unlimited. You can listen to over 70 million songs and thousands of playlists and stations. Plus, you can now stream your favorite podcasts like Last First Date Radio. You can listen to any song, anytime, anywhere, on any of your devices. Get Amazon Music Unlimited for free for 30 days. Just head on over to getamazonmusic.com/lastfirstdate to learn more and claim this offer. So, for all the people who are skeptics and saying this makes no sense, how to give us a little bit more context around this, because people can have similar birthdays. I mean, Harrison Ford's been married more than once. I'm imagining if he's born in the 1940s, this is not his first wife. And people could have similar birthdays and be not compatible, I'm imagining. So give us a little bit more on this.
So like I said, you see, so you might find somebody that, and astrology, God bless astrology. I think it's is a gift to mankind, for our generation. But usually, you might think because somebody is an astrological sign that is compatible to yours based on the given natural systems of things that you are actually a compatible match. And it could not be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, sometimes you might feel like the person you're with is actually perfect based on astrology, but it's not, because those numbers are so critical to how you actually connect on a deeper level that you actually miss the point when you think you're compatible simply by signs. So people might say, Cancer and Taurus get along. But if the numbers are completely off, that might be a Cancer that ticks you off. As opposed to somebody that you get along with. So it's just those numbers are so crucial. But because we've done extensive study on a number of all these individuals that match based on the numbers, on long-lasting marriages that last, we can tell that you will be in a very good relationship with an individual based on those numbers. At least it will be harmonious. It will be something where you have a level of understanding, a level of companionship, a level of love. But even deeper than that is finding the ones that actually connect you on a deeper level of love, which we can do as well. And I've been doing this. I've worked with quite a number of people in my academy. I'm actually, like I was telling you this morning, I'm trying to work with a dating guru that is has individuals all over the country and all over Canada, and we're trying to get people to actually find their perfect matches, not just based on superficial qualities of facial attractions, facial features, and things like that, but things that are much more concrete in terms of what can pinpoint the personality of the person in connection to you as an individual and make sense of that. And so that's what I'm doing. But I'm so confident in how this is possible because I use this to find my match. I literally went on the dating app, and I'd gone on a couple of dating apps, and I found this info, and I was like, what is your birthday? Because like I said, I told you I met a lot of people in my days, and I was like, you know what? Let me just do it right because I have this information. I've never used it the way I should. Let me use it right. And I did. Both number pairs on her number and my number pairs were exact matches. They were like perfect matches. And I took that science and I went off with it. And today I've moved continents. There's another person I helped not long ago that I just connected based on their number pairs, and she was like, you know what, I have all these dates that I'm going out with, but I just don't know who I'm dealing with. I don't know if this would be the right person for me. And I did the calculations, and I was like, you know what, not only are you guys perfect matches, but based on the profile that I gathered on this research of you guys actually you do best in marriage. So I was able to give him like the sense of confidence, knowing that he's in the right relationship with this person. And I've done that for quite a number of people in my academy. If you go to myrelevantacademy.com, you'll find quite a number of individuals that I've helped to make a conclusive understanding, come to a conclusive understanding about what the education can do for them.
So the numbers matching is an important part, in your world, then matching the numbers. And so what happens if, okay, your numbers match and it seems like the perfect match, but then you have to actually live together. You have to get along together. Do you teach other parts of relationship skills to help people really have these beautiful relationships?
It's interesting you say that, Sandy. And people think the journey of love just starts, and all of a sudden there's love and there's roses all throughout the picture. That doesn't happen. It is so far from the truth. And this is why it's important that when you get into a relationship, it is so intentional. Because if it's not intentional, you quit before you actually see the beautiful roses at the end of end of the road. You don't see those roses because you quit. It's not intentional enough for you to say, I am going the distance. The problem is most people think if it doesn't work the first week, the first 2 weeks, I'm throwing in the towel and I'm going to check for some, I'm checking out, I'm looking up, I'm looking for somebody else. And you cannot be doing so much disservice to yourself in a situation where you actually found love. And then you second guess it. And this is what I try to do. I try to take out the second guessing out of it so that when you get into a relationship, it's very intentional. You know that you're doing this for a long-term vision. You know that you're compatible in the first place. The reason why you actually first get along in the first place is because there's this compatible ingredient. When you live together, it's a completely different animal because you might be the neatest freak on town, the neatest person in the world, and you might have some your partner might just put food on the table and not take it away, but you might get so irate with that. All of a sudden, you're like, all right, that's it. I'm out of this relationship. I can't do this. And you're like, are you serious? You're gonna throw away somebody that's gonna be committed to you for the next 20 years if you only found a way to manage that side of the relationship where you tell the person, take your dishes and put it in the sink and wash it. Or even you doing it for them, just taking that extra sacrifice, say, listen, this relationship is worth it. I'm just going to take the plate and do it for them until they learn to do it themselves. But instead of just throwing in the towel and saying, well, this is it. I've had enough of this. Because this in a relationship that there comes a point where there has to be compromise, there has to be a give and take where you're ready to sacrifice for the person. And the person is willing to sacrifice for you. But we're not asking for just a one-way street of sacrifice, but something where it's balanced and you understand the intentional aspect of being in that relationship. And so I think that is crucial in finding a relationship, knowing that the numbers might match, the numbers might be perfect. And you might get into the relationship and find out, all right, this is not panning out the way I want. Maybe that's because you have certain held strong beliefs about how things are supposed to be done. You're fixed in your ways in certain ways. Can you bend a little? Can you find a way to make compromises? Can you go the extra mile to do that thing that you want them to do for you and explain and show them by example? That and do that over time. And you are you willing to go the distance over time to see if you can mend that aspect of the relationship and see if it gels eventually? Because everything is a habit. We learn things and it becomes a habit. And we can unlearn things and that becomes a habit as well. So I believe that is a crucial part of relationships. And I think it's something that everyone should learn to do. If they intend to go the distance with a particular individual in life.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you talk about intentional, which is such an important word. And so many people come to relationships with beliefs that are very limiting. And in the whole online dating world, there's so much choice for people that a lot of people just keep choosing the next person without
Yes.
working on
Yes.
the relationship in front of them. And they never discuss any of the important things. And so I couldn't agree more that we need to slow down a little bit, take our time and really get to know somebody, really be intentional, have those hard conversations. Don't make it all about you. Be willing to explore whether you are doing something that is getting in the way of healthy relationships. Let's talk about your other books, The Power of Paradise and The Wiz Diary, where you explore human connection and introspection. How do these topics relate to your work in helping people find love?
I think on that scale, I talk about love on a broader scale. I talk about love on a brotherhood of mankind kind of scale, where I mean, think about the war in Gaza right now and things like that. When will that end? When will that end if there's not a common understanding between mankind that makes us understand that there's something inherently that connects all of us together on a profound level that makes us brothers and sisters? Something that connects us on a deeper level that makes us all part of the same fabric of this spirit of life that is so endearing that if we could only appreciate it a little more, we understand we can go the distance together without so much of an offense against each other. But I kind of wrote the book and I started with so many stories in Power of Paradise that allows people to understand how to become much more aligned to the greater, self in terms of love as a person, as a being, I break down the myths of gender inequality in one of the stories, because gender equality is just it pits the opposites against the it pits people opposites against each other, man, woman, black, white, good, bad. It has all these synonyms that make you automatically develop a judgmental attitude towards something. It's not some of these things that we call racial or whatnot does not even exist. It's just automatic. Nobody does it intentionally. Nobody, because there's so many layers of opposites in society that makes people feel like, oh, he's a man. Oh, he's a woman. All right. So she doesn't know what she's doing because she's a woman. It's so much prejudgment that comes from definitions that makes us want to align with a better version or a worse version. And it's not healthy. And so sometimes we, in the first story in the book, I talk about defining yourself with the best representation of you so that you live beyond the page of collective stereotype. And I think that is the best representation of you should be one that is positive and is has meaning and gives direction in terms of who you are and empowers you to be better, empowers you to connect the world together, empowers you to love, because love is crucial. People don't talk about love so much because there's not so much drama around it. It's just so much peace. But when you see something blown up and things going, you get excited. So anything that is excitable usually comes in a negative connotation at the end of the day, because people are shouting, screaming, that there's so much excitement. But usually that's when things are going the wrong way. So excitable does not always mean good. It could actually, you can convert that and make excitable, you can make excitable love in so many ways, where you can change that dynamic where what makes you excited is love, as opposed to something negative or something mm-hmm. combative, you mm-hmm. know? I think in that sense, I believe the idea of finding comfort in brotherhood of mankind and finding a line where everybody can come together and make sense of the world is what I did in Power of Paradise. I reached out from the beginning to the end. I took people from a journey where they could find connection in people of the earth. I did one with one of the stories I had where somebody was sitting down in the house and all of a sudden there's an explosion down the street, like an explosion that just blows up everything up. And all of a sudden, he sees all these colors taking place in the air and just whatever's going on. And come to think of it, the company that designed the reactors designed something so that when it explodes, it creates like a healing effect in the air. Just if something happened to the reactors and it exploded, it created a healing effect in the air. So when the explosion calmed down, people were actually camping down around the place where the explosion took place to get healed of the sickness, because something was happening in the air to actually make them get well in their being. So it was a very interesting story with the newscasters and everybody talking about it. So I have so many stories in there, but that's Power of Paradise. Very, very interesting book. Definitely worth the read. You know.
So it sounds like a lot of what you write about is rising up to your higher self, stopping the judgment, finding the connection points, which are important not only in our romantic relationships, but in all relationships where yeah. we are not the other. We are not looking down on people as being inferior, but that we all are human and have so much more in common than we think.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Deserelle, I'm going to ask you the question I ask everybody at the end of the podcast, which is,
Yes.
what are your final words of advice for anyone who wants to go on their last first date?
You know what? That should have been the first thing I told you because I love the name of the podcast, Last First Date, because it seems, this is what I'll say. I was last first date is for people over the age of 40, whatnot. I got married at the age of 45, if I'm right. So that was after my 40s. I found love after my 40s. Just like you said, dating is all over the place. You have so many options. I had too many options at a point in time in my life that I had to back off. But I'll say to people that have so many options, or people that don't have any options, is to give My Real Love Academy a go. I believe at the end of the day, you'll be able to pinpoint with almost uncanny accuracy who your perfect match is going to be. I do this, and what I do is I make sure you can go on Facebook. I can take you on Facebook and find your perfect matches right on Facebook using the date of births. So I try to help you in the process to actually find your perfect match. But this is unbelievable. I believe it. I believe we need it. We need it in this world where 70% of 60 to 70% of marriages end in divorce. It is not, it's no more a situation where we just relax and say, oh, this is what it is. It can't be what it is because it's destroying the fabric of society. It's destroying everything. It's destroying the sanctity of a lot of people's lives. The peace of mind that people have, they lose a lot of faith in the process of love and the process of life, and they become very senile in life simply because of it. Because it's not that who wants to go into life not finding love, and then when you find it, it's the worst thing ever. Who wants that? Nobody wants that. And so what I'm trying to do is make sure that people can find love the right the first time around. Make that the last first date, where you go before you go on your first date, this is the right one for me. Let me just see if I can make this person realize that when I meet them, because I'm going to show them we are the perfect match for each other. I want to be able to set them up, set people up, so before you go on your first date that this is somebody I should give my good attention to, because they might just be the one I spend the rest of my life with. My
Well, I
last first date
your
is,
last first date.
yes.
Deserelle, I appreciate your passion and excitement around this topic, and you totally have like full belief in your method, and I respect that. And if you can share your website with our audience, and I'll put the other links in the show notes.
Yes, the website is myreallloveracademy.com. Myreallloveacademy.com. And you spell it out fully. So that is that.
Okay.
I believe that's you can find any other information from me there. You can book a
Okay.
call with me and all that. Yes.
Perfect. Well, thank you
Yes.
so much for coming on the podcast today and sharing about your journey to finding your wife, to helping others find their perfect match, and for believing in love the way that I do, and the importance of love and being your highest self.
Thank you so much, Sandy, and I appreciate what you're doing too as well. I never knew, as a matter of fact, when I saw your podcast, I was like, this is impossible. Last first date. I'm not like, this is just meant for me.
Well, thank you again. And thanks everybody for listening. And if you love our show, please give us a high rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And as always, here's to your last first date. If you are ready to get unstuck gain new tools, become more empowered, and finally find your last first date, I'd love to talk to you. Fill out an application to be considered for a complimentary half-hour love breakthrough session at lastfirstdate.com/application.